Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we will be presenting our 14th part in a 14-part series that we have titled Satan's Counterfeits. It is based upon my document titled Identifying Satan's Counterfeits, including his sinister ministers and their false doctrine. Our theme verses for this particular series have been in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." The title of today's 14th and final presentation in this series on Satan's counterfeit is God's rebuke of and warnings to wicked pastors and false prophets. And then we'll have a brief conclusion to close out this particular series. Okay, go to Jeremiah chapter 23, we're going to start reading in there. But Jeremiah chapter 23 is a rebuke to wicked pastors and false prophets. Today's false prophets would do well to heed the lessons of Jeremiah chapter 23. It is probably the most comprehensive chapter in the Bible dealing in the context of a single chapter with how God feels about false prophets. Jeremiah chapter 23, we're going to read it in its entirety. "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." And as a brief aside here, that righteous branch is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's pick back up in verse 6. "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." And if you've got a King James Bible, that phrase, "the Lord our righteousness," is capitalized in it because it is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children out of Israel, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have also seen the prophets of Jerusalem, and horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Now you'll notice that he has condemned both the prophets in Samaria, that's the northern kingdom, and then he's condemned the prophets in Jerusalem, that is the southern kingdom. So it's all of Israel that is here condemned, both their prophets, their priests, their rulers, and the whole bunch of them. Pick back up in verse 15 of Jeremiah 23. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed and till he have performed the thoughts of his hearts. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. And now that term, the latter days, in there is talking about way on into the future. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. I am a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as far as the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, The burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, What hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God. Listen to that again. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, What hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, The burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, The burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, Ye shall not say, The burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. That's Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 through 40. All right, let's go into Ezekiel chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 2 through 9 there. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. We are warned time and again of false prophets in the Old Testament, and then when we get into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ kicks it off in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, and states this, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And then again in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, he says this, For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Notice that signs and wonders are associated with the false prophets in the end times. The apostate American church has much emphasis on signs and wonders in the charismatic movement that has crossed all denominational lines. It is a mark that identifies the fulfillment of end times Bible prophecy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And then we have in Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14, this, And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And Paul said this in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15 say the following. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 state the following. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say this, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. If there ever was a day when the church is evil spoken of, it is today. Because of false prophets and Christians who will not live holy lives, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is profaned among the heathen. Many will not take a stand for biblical separation from false doctrine and false prophets because they are afraid of being accused of being unloving, of being judgmental, of being legalistic, or of being a Pharisee. Those are some of the favorite Christian curse words today. They like to throw that term legalist or Pharisee around if you stand for the truth. Many are afraid of contention, but you must contend for the faith whether you want to or not. It is a Bible commandment. Our Bible says in Jude verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's Jude verse 3. Not only must we contend for the faith, but we must also realize that there is a call that goes forth unto God's people to be separate. Separation is for our protection and for the protection of the church. We turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. And the Bible states this, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, 11 states the following, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Romans 16, verses 17 through 19. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 reads as follows. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 reads as follows, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. What is the price, folks, to be paid if we will not be separated from false doctrine, worldly lust, and false doctrine? We're in an age, folks, when the church is eat up with false prophet, false teachers, and, of course, false doctrine. But there is a solution. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 19, which has been really one of the theme passages of this extended series. It tells one of the, probably one of the stories that's the most tragic in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 6, starting verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the people of the, upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto priests, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And that really, in verse 15 of Jeremiah chapter 10, there is where America's at today. We have become so wicked and so far from God that our conscience has been seared. And there's things that happen today that should put us to shame, and it doesn't even bother us at all. We don't even blush. We're not even capable of blushing anymore because our conscience is so sere. Verse 16, continuing on. Thus say the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. That's Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. And I think you've noticed here that I am using an overwhelming amount of scripture to take home this point of what God thinks about false prophets and false teachers. And we're now going to go into Jeremiah chapter 8 and read verses 4 through 13. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. For the prophet, from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall, in the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fail, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Isaiah the prophet also fought his own battles with those who would not receive the word of God. We have this in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own conceits and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Exhorting for the application side of the word of God, the prophet Elijah had this to say in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. That's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And then we have Joshua dealing with the people of Israel in Joshua 24, verses 15 and 16, where he states the following. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. Let me state this in the strongest possible terms. If you do not have a spiritual backbone, then either God has not called you to preach or teach the word of God, or your heart is not right with God and his word. Sadly, we have come to a time in American churches where God knows most men today for what they will not preach on. The prophet Elijah could come to the average preacher's meeting today and legitimately state, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And that would be the same reaction we'd get today if you rebuked most pastors and preachers and teachers that we have in our churches. They would not be able to answer a word. Now, there is not a penny's worth of difference between the prophets of Baal and today's average preacher. With very few exceptions, there is no sure word of prophecy in the land. So, what is God's response to those teachers and preachers who are tempted to compromise the word of God? That is our next topic. God's commands to the preachers and teachers who would compromise because of their fear of their listeners. Most preachers today are scared to death of their congregation. Any preacher that claims he has been called to preach would do well to heed the instructions of God to the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel and to Pastor Timothy. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1, where we read the following, starting in verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And then we have further on in that same chapter in verses 17 through 19, we have the following. Thou therefore, speaking to Jeremiah now, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Notice how strong that was. God told Jeremiah he must go forth. He must be obedient unto God's command to preach the truth unto his people. Now, we have the same charge that is given to the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 3 of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12 there. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. That's Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So we see a charge that has been given to both to Jeremiah and to Ezekiel, and in both instances they were told that the people would not listen to them, but God said, you're going to preach and teach to them anyhow. And so they did. And now we move into the New Testament, and we see where the Apostle Paul is giving charge to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Then we have 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. The message from these passages to those who have been called to the ministry is that they must openly and boldly declare the word of God, regardless of the people's reaction and opposition to it. God even warns them that there will be a fight. We're told to earnestly contend for the faith. That means that there will be contention, folks. And we've got to have some people in our day that will stand like Ezekiel and Jeremiah did, and stand up for the truth and preach God's words without compromise and without fear of the people that they're preaching before. And what that means is that that when we are dealing with rebellious people, there's going to be contention, there's going to be confrontation, and we need to stand up to it. And the Bible says this, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Now for some closing comments. We will close with a few comments and some admonishments. First, we quote Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, Ephesians 4, verse 13 speaks of a unity of the faith. Biblical unity cannot exist in diversity of doctrine. That has been one of the overriding themes of this extended series on Satan's counterfeits. Let me repeat that. Biblical unity cannot exist in the diversity of doctrine. We are commanded to separate from false teachers and false doctrine. It is not our choice. It is the commandment of God. The overriding theme of this series has been that our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ is in vain if we are teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." That's Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Obeying Christ's command concerning doctrine is not a matter of our love for mankind. It is a matter of our love for the truth and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. If you compromise the word of God and you say that you are a Christian, that makes you a hypocrite. We must always teach and preach the truth in love. That does not mean that we accept compromise. There comes a time when we must publicly name names and call out false doctrine. Many times we will have to instruct those who oppose themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. That must be done through a discerning spirit. You cannot beat an unbeliever into conforming to the Word of God. If the Holy Ghost is not in them, or in what you are trying to do, you are beating your head against the devil's wall. Any person temporarily convinced to get against their will is of the same opinion still. Only the Holy Ghost can change the will or the want to of an individual. That applies to both the saved and the unsaved. I have watched pastors over the years attempt to conform unsaved people to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and its end is usually resentment and open rebellion. People must first be brought to Christ before they can be conformed to the image of Christ. You cannot use 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to scrub up a whited sepulcher that is full of dead men's bones. What I'm saying is that not everyone that claims to be saved is saved. By their fruits ye shall know them. And I would issue you this warning too. Not every man that claims to be a man of God, that claims to be a prophet or a preacher or pastor or teacher of God, is of God. And that's been one of the themes of this particular series, is to point out Satan's counterfeits, and we need to be looking for them and be prepared to defend the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's worthy of all our praise, honor, and glory. And folks, we want to thank you for your patience with us during this series, and we want to thank you for joining us, and it has been a blessing to teach and preach it.